So this is what you do the first time we're back together as a family, Vampire Book Club.
Warning, this podcast, Vampire Book Club, will contain spoilers from The Vampire Diaries, The Originals, and Legacies. Hey everyone, welcome to my podcast. My name is Michaela. This is a Vampire Diaries universe podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to be ranking the top 10 villains in The Vampire Diaries and The Originals. I did want to include Legacies. I just really need to watch it again, and I haven't in a while, so I felt weird about it. Also, this was already the hardest list. I just tried to do Vampire Diaries at first, but I was like, you know, I don't think there is enough villains to do a top 10 with just the originals. So I did, there could have been, depending on how I did it, but I just did both these two shows for now. And it was incredibly hard. Don't forget to go ahead and give me a follow on social media. The link will be in the description below. Please don't forget to share what your favorite villains are in the comments below, or if you agree with me or not. I respect your opinion. Like I said, this was really hard. I'm not even sure I agree with me. I keep changing my mind as I go. It was based on a few different things as far as a villain. How much I enjoyed them was one of them. How villainy they actually were, including the fear they instilled, the strategy they had, or the kills that they had. But seriously, this was like the hardest list I've ever had to come up with, and I don't even, like I said, I'm still deciding as I go. So I'm going to start off with some honorable mentions, and I'm not going to really give too much of an explanation for the honorable mentions, or, and they're not going to be ranked in any type of order, but here they are. So Augustine Vampires and the Scientists Themselves, Marcos and the Travelers. I really didn't want to put them, but they actually did strip magic from an entire town and killed some of the main characters. Cade and the Sirens, I just found them to be boring and not really scary. I feel like there was just so much potential wasted with them, but I really did like the idea of the devil and the sirens. Lily's Heretics, Aurora D. Martel, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde version of Alaric as an original and not an original. And I almost included this last one on my final list, but I didn't. So Silas, and again, really cool concept, really scary build up, but I just feel like the delivery and the potential was wasted, so that's why he's not on the list. So number 10, Raina Cruz, and although I didn't think at first she was going to be that scary, she's pretty badass. She literally non-stops slaughtering vampires. Kind of sucks for her, she never really actually gets to enjoy her lives. And I really thought that they only brought her in there because the actress does have similarities, physical similarities to Nina Dobrev, who just left the show the season before that. But the amount of vampires that she did kill was pretty impressive, so I think I needed to put her on this list, as well as the fact that when Stefan shows up in New Orleans, he's actually afraid of Raina. And the other vampires that are ancient are also afraid of her. And really, she's one of the very few things that can actually take out an original. Well, I guess they never say that Raina can take out an original, but I think that she could. At the very least, she would be able to torture them with the Phoenix Stone. Not really sure, but Klaus was scared. I like how they bring Julian into her story to introduce her, and then the armory wants her. She's pretty useful in a lot of different ways. She goes across both of the shows in a very short time, but she could harm a hybrid, well, a heretic, so I don't see why she couldn't harm an original. I mean, obviously those are two different things completely, but I'm just saying, without ripping his head or heart off, and that's the only ways to kill a hybrid, and that was not done. They should have included Raina Cruz in that theory. And magic can't be used on her, as well as compulsion, which I believe is just magic, but it can be used on her, and they make anti-magic pills of her. So she's pretty cool. She's a pretty good villain. She's obviously magically spelled, but I like that all of vampirism knew who she was. Old ones, young ones, and they were all equally afraid.
Number 9, Michael Michelson.
And I really did want to put him higher on this list, guys, but the reasons I didn't were because he's really only a villain in To Klaus, although he is a savage and will murder anybody in his way. He is fixated on harming Klaus and hates Klaus for no reason and kind of always has. He's more like an arch nemesis, but because he is a parent and he will also harm his other parent, I mean his other children who are actually his children, in order to get to his nemesis, who, by the way, was just a child, so it's really just you're an abusive dad, is why I included him on this list. And just his delivery and hatefulness deep down in his soul are part of the reasons that he is a villain. He is pretty ruthless overall and is not afraid to threaten or kill if he needs to. And I just enjoyed him. I thought he was great. Like, I hated him, which is what makes a good villain. But I loved him because, like, he was just evil. He literally spends his in over 1,000 years chasing his child to kill him. He even hated him before he found out that he was not his child. Just the way he's like, nobody cares about you anymore, boy. Can't even do it like him, but he's great. And he's just a fun character. Even Finn, who is hated by most of the other siblings, warns Freya that, like, Michael is not good at all. And he was never the same after Freya went missing. And that's saying a lot if Finn is saying it, that Michael's a horrible person. However, I do like that Michael feeds on vampires, even though I guess that makes him good. But he's the one who created vampires, which is an oxymoron. He's part of the creation process. Well, not an oxymoron, but I mean, kind of. It definitely contradicts itself. He burns down the opera house with innocent people in it just to kind of get to Klaus. And Klaus is able to break free, but he just wanted to kind of kill Marcel because he knows that that's somebody that they care about. Number 8, Inadu, or The Hollow. Honestly, I hated her, but she was a great villain. She literally killed a Michelson. I mean, technically she killed two. She killed one of them twice, but one time it is very directly she is responsible for Elijah's death, and the next time it is because they are trying to get rid of her permanently that they willingly kill themselves. But either way, she kills a Michelson, an original vampire. So I'm just scared of that alone within itself. And then on top of that, she also created the werewolf curse. Her own people had to kill her because she was so powerful and she loved being evil. It was a pleasure for her to kill things. They tried to bless this pregnancy that her, when her mother was pregnant, because she was from the two most powerful tribes. However, she just was too blessed, I think, and she was too evil. Literally, she got stronger in death, which that's why Elijah and Klaus's death never made sense to me. Like, it didn't make sense when the only way before was to separate her. It made no sense that them sacrificing themselves would kill her. However, this isn't about that. She literally used children. She used people's weaknesses. She helped people get what they want, knowing that they would help them. For instance, she had Cole do the totem and trap Marcel and Rebecca in trades for Davina to come back. She just had so much darkness in her that even the darkest of creatures were taken over pretty easily. And she was power hungry. She wanted more power. She had an insatiable thirst for power and she didn't stop. She wanted hope. She wanted children. She wanted anything at all that she could sink her little teeth into. And when she did die, they had to take her 4 bones and separate them at different ends of the earth. And that bone was, one of those bones was Papatunde's blade, which literally, like, when you're stabbed with it, it gives you horrible, horrible torment. Number 7, Ketsia. And honestly, I was skeptical to even put her on this list, but I did put her at number 7 because, first of all, I love a good, she's like the only scorned lover trope that we really see here, other than like Aurora, but like that was just more like a Klaus backstory fun thing, more than like a scorned lover who literally creates the other side to keep the two of them apart. She literally finds doppelgangers. She creates the doppelgangers, like, from her spell. She creates the first vampires. The immortality spell that Estra uses was created by Ketsia first. And this was all because her handmaiden fell in love with her man and they used her. And I get that. I feel that. And overall, I don't think this happens in any other storyline. Like, there's little bits of, like, betrayal and stuff, but it's not specifically like you create a whole ghostly plane or other side for ghosts to go to, for supernaturals to go to, and an immortality spell in the first place, and then creating doppelgangers that can be killed throughout time that keep getting drawn to each other. And then she erases all of Stefan's memories. She is able to do a bunch of crazy things, and she is fueled by jealousy, hatred. She makes Amara the anchor, which is so funny and so crazy. She's like batshit crazy. And Damon's like, okay, crazy pants, but she's literally just seeing living and dead, and she's so confused. And it was very smart to tie the other side to her, and now she's had to feel the deaths of 2,000 years of people who are supernaturals that have died. She was able to mess with Stefan's daylight ring, and she acts like she's helping him, and she's like, did you not just listen? I have trust issues. And she's funny. And she lures Catherine and Elena there. And it's just pretty good. I like it. I like her. I like a good love trope story. And I think that this was really the only one. So I put her here. She was just filled with hate and jealousy. And it really controlled all of her decisions. And that's what made her great. Number six, I did two villains, kind of. They had different stories, but they were the same villain. And this is going to be Lucien Castle and Marcel. Honestly, I just wanted to include them both on the list and not cut anybody else. So I think that it works, as Marcel is the one to carry out Lucien's plan using Lucien's creations. And obviously, like I said, they are two different villains, and without Lucien, Marcel wouldn't have been possible. Lucien was plotting revenge against the Michelsons for 1,000 years. And in these years, he was very strategic. He was, like, very thoughtful in his revenge. He was fueled by revenge. He was fueled by becoming better than the Michelsons. He was wronged by them. He lost the woman of his life by them. I guess this is another scorned lover story. My bad. But I think it's deeper than just that. It was more about stature. I have an episode about that if you guys want to go check it out, about Lucien Castle in general. And when Lucien is introduced, you really think that he is a friend and he's here to help. But right off the bat, you're not sure though. You're not sure. But right off the bat, he starts lying. He starts lying about werewolf bites and how he's cured them. He says he didn't get bitten by a werewolf when Elijah clearly saw it happen. And then we see him cure it himself and tell Klaus that he does not need the cure. So he has engineered his own werewolf cure, which before this was only Klaus's blood was the only cure and hopes. But he has all kinds of resources and technologies and all types of things. And he's thought out every part of this. He's working with the ancestors. He is really strategic. He really wants revenge. He really wants Aurora. He really wants to pay them back for abandoning him and for making him think that he was a Michelson by compulsion in order to kind of be chased by Michael. Michael had chased Lucien, Aurora, and Tristan for a whole century. And even after that, they were still being chased by him. So Lucien wanted the girl. He wanted the power. He wanted to stop being bettered by everybody. He wanted to be above and beyond. And honestly, he was. He should have just left his revenge behind him, but he just couldn't. He needed to take out the Michelsons to feel superior to them. He even says it in his ad for his castle making thing. I think he even gives himself that last name because at that time, like, last names weren't a thing, or they were just becoming a thing in I forget. I think he was in France. So, like, that's, and in that time frame, that's when that was all starting. So, I feel like he gave himself the last name Castle to feel superior and like an in, like a force of that couldn't be reckoned with, even though castles do fall. But, and we see him fall because he underestimated Freya Mikkelsen. To be fair, she wasn't there for the past 1,000 years. They couldn't really, so I'm sure it was harder to know her weaknesses. That's why he tried to seduce her. But I think he actually liked her too. I really wanted a little bit of them. And when he dies, Marcel is angered because the way he dies, Freya uses Davina and Marcel is done with it. Marcel thinks that he is her family. I mean, he is the Mikkelsen's family, and he gets betrayed again and again and again. In season 3, Marcel does so much for them to protect them, and he like goes undercover. He does all these things. I love this season. It's a great season. So Marcel is probably the only person that knows the Mikkelsens better than anybody that isn't a Mikkelsen. And I would even say including Haley, but she's safe because she bred a Mikkelsen, although she's really not. So although Marcel doesn't actually kill the Mikkelsens, he tries to, and he is very close. Again, they underestimate Freya, but Freya was not the only thing. Freya puts them in a sleeping spell, and his one weakness is love, Rebecca Mikkelsen. He would obviously never harm Rebecca, and, you know, deep down, he does love the other Mikkelsens too, Klaus, Elijah even, and Cole even. But I love to see that Marcel was better than them. I love that he came out on top, and now his venom could kill them because Elijah literally rips his heart out off of a bridge, and, you know, he becomes superior than his father. I wonder if he could kill Hope. Obviously, he wouldn't, but I wonder if he actually could. And I really liked seeing Marcel attack them and hold Klaus captive. I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed Lucien as well. He was very charming and charismatic. He had a lot of charisma. He was a real Rizzler, as my 12-year-old would say. Ah, Gen A, your speak is crazy. I like that they both were seen as the Mikkelsen's friends and were able to kind of be better than them for at least some point in time, and that they both wanted vengeance for all the horrible things that they did. Nobody ever really holds the Mikkelsen's accountable, and Lucien went to great lengths to get the serum. He went to great lengths to even create like a cure. But in the end, the stable boy did not take out the original hybrid, and only one of his true heirs, Marcel or Hope, could be the reason that Klaus Mikkelsen died. And if it wasn't for Rebecca, Marcel would have done that. But ultimately it was his daughter. Number 5, Esther Mikkelsen. Now, she was a savage. So Esther is first introduced to us in the Vampire Diaries. She throws a ball. She is in one of the coffins that is locked that Klaus is carrying around. It is the only coffin that is locked. She clearly has never cared about her family. She claims to care about her family, but she is probably the most selfish character, and I would say even over Klaus, that has ever existed. When she was younger, her and her sister were taken by Vikings, and they were treated horribly, and then she abandons her sister for, you know, the Viking, Michael. And then she tries to have a child, and she can't, so she goes back to her sister for help and, you know, sells her firstborn and every firstborn after that. Which, mother or not, that's absolutely insanity. First of all, you're not only offering one of your children up, but you're offering up your children's children. Crazy. Then she has, you know, another 6 kids besides the one that she gave away to her sister. Her fourth child is not her husband's. And in order to keep her secret, she makes her son weak so his werewolf side is not shown to Michael, making him the child that Michael literally tortures. She's allowed him to be tortured over and over. She doesn't say anything. She doesn't stand up for him. She just lets him hide and keeps him weak. And it's just really gross. So her final child, the seventh child that she had, dies from a werewolf attack. And in order to keep her children safe, she decides, oh, let's create a spell that will keep him alive forever. And that creates a plague that lasts on the world for millennia. She is an all-evil, powerful witch. So she creates vampirism and she quickly regrets it. However, Klaus kills her rather quickly and carries her around for 1,000 years with a... I don't know how he got somebody to preserve her body, but she's alive in the flesh. And eventually she comes back to life because the characters in Mystic Falls let her free, and she pretends that she's here because she wants to just be a whole family again. And she creates a ball. She uses Elena's blood and links them all together as one, knowing that Finn is going to kill himself and tries to kill his children. And she knows, I'm pretty sure she knows, even though every other vampire, that every vampire is going to die. She doesn't say that to anybody. So she's trying to take out the entire race that she created. And that is not the only time she tries to kill her own children. She comes back several times. She tries to kill her own children. She tries to kill her grandchild. She is just a fucking monster in every type of the word. Where Michael tried to kill Klaus, yeah, cool. But like Esther, just, she's like, babies, grandbabies, I'll trade you all. I'll kill you all, darling. She's just horrible, but she's great. She's scary. She kills. She's ruthless. She plots. She's a strategist. That's where the Michelsons get it from. They got it from their mama. When she becomes an ancestor, she literally is like, yeah, you can stay alive, Genevieve, if you kill my son's daughter, my son's newborn baby, as soon as it's born. I feel bad for the originals. I feel bad for the Michelsons. Like, she abandoned Freya. She never loved any of her kids, even if she did. Even if Rebecca remembers good memories of her, I think they were all a lie. I think she was a selfish cunt from the beginning. Excuse my language, but damn, girl. Cole refers to her as Mama Dearest. I don't know. She's just not a good person. She's not a good mother. She is probably the only person that's supposed to keep you safe and nurture you, and she never does that once to her children. Even if she does, it's the stuff that she does back to them is horrible. Number four, Dahlia. I really like Dahlia's storyline. She is just here for power. She feels robbed from her sister. She was a firstborn Michelson, and not Michelson, but whatever Esther's line is. And she is one of the strongest in the family. Firstborns are strongest. Hope and Freya fall into that category. Dahlia literally murders Aiden. She is a strategist as well. This must be a family trait because she crushes it. She kidnaps trades her power to help Esther to be able to breed children. And in order to do that, she was promised Esther's firstborns and all of their children's firstborns forever. So she was going to be able to drain powers. If it wasn't for Esther's little, vampirism spell, she probably would have had a lot more power by now. She probably would have been unstoppable at some point. She is able to sense when magic is being used. She puts her and Freya in a preservation spell. She is coming for a child. She knows that she messed up with Freya because Freya was too old to remember that she wasn't her mom and rebelled against her the entire time. So she tries to rope Klaus into it and has Klaus like kill his mother. I mean, Hope's mother, but Klaus is like, I have something better planned for her, and keeps her as a wolf. And I think he's just butthurt because Haley tries to run with Hope and he couldn't see that she was just trying to protect Hope. And he thanks her later on in the series, like that was the right choice, and that she always protects Hope, and he thanks her for that. And he thanks her not for leaving like she should have. And he gets why she should have. but Dahlia uses other people to send messages. She is putting the fear in everybody. She even has Esther scared. So if Esther's scared, I'm scared, bro. Esther's a scary bitch. She's a ruthless bitch. Dahlia was more powerful than Esther as well. Dahlia did a lot of different magic that a lot of witches these days don't know about. So I thought that was pretty cool. Even like she was supposedly more powerful than Esther, obviously, because she was a firstborn, but there was other things that went into that too. Okay, so again, I guess Dahlia really did love Esther. Maybe this is another scorn lover thing, but again, that's not like the whole of it. It's more like she just wanted a family and was abandoned. It's more like a Klaus story where your family abandoned you and not like a lover cheated on you. So Josephine, who was a pretty big witch, I think she might have been the regent at that point, but she could not play the violin anymore. Her hands had been damaged. She had like carpal tunnel or something going on with her hands. I don't really know what it was, but Dahlia allowed her to play music again and then used her as a message. Her head starts bleeding and Klaus kind of just throws it off because it's Dahlia channeling her. And she is anywhere at any point and you don't know when she's coming and the flowers come up. It's just, and she kills Aiden and blames it on Klaus, starts a war knowing that it will be blamed on Klaus. And she's just really good. Her delivery was great. Her role, all of it was great. She was ready to kill Freya. She didn't care. Even after raising Freya, it was really good. I enjoyed her a bunch. She's probably my favorite villain in the originals. But only because the other Michelsons become anti-heroes at that point because it's their story and not, you know, Vampire Diaries. All right, so now I'm going to get down to the top three. And I'm going to say this because this was so hard to rank them. I knew who they were going to be. They are my favorites. They are a lot of people's favorites, I would assume. I see that a lot of people name them as their favorites. The order of them was really, really difficult. So here we go. Number three, Catherine Pierce, a.k.a. Katerina Petrova. She was just a girl in a village doing all right. And then, you know, she became a vampire overnight. Sorry. Sophia the First just popped into my head. She had a baby out of wedlock and her family exiled her. And I think that she still wasn't even a villain at this point. But then she was a doppelganger. She was a traveler. And then Mr. Klaus Michelson found out about her existence and was trying to kill her. And she said, "You are not using me in some fucking sacrifice. I'm going to become one of you." And sacrifices herself, turns herself into a vampire so she can't be used as a human sacrifice and gets to live as a vampire. She stays on the run from him for 500 years. And even though he probably wasn't actually chasing her, she was always 20 steps ahead of everybody. She lived her life. She had fun. She was probably the best strategist out of all the named strategists above, including Lucien and Esther and Dahlia and even Klaus. I think she is a top tier strategist. She quite literally compelled whole towns to forget about her unless she was talking to them herself. The only downfall to that was she had a doppelganger and they couldn't tell the difference. So to them, it was her. She would have never been found if it wasn't for Elena. A lot of people are like, Klaus, Damon looked for her for 150 years. Klaus looked for her for 500 and Rebecca and Elena found her in one day. No, Elena found her in one day. Rebecca was just there for the ride and she helped a little bit, but Rebecca wanted to keep driving. Elena wanted to stop and Elena looked just like her. Elena's face was the only thing that was going to do it. Or Catherine's, obviously, same face. She wraps men around her finger. She will, we both know, she says, I can rip you to shreds and do my nails at the same time. She is confident and cocky. She knows everything about everyone around her. She knows the next move that she needs to make and how to make it. And she knows 20 steps ahead of that. She is like a huge, she should play chess. She should win some tournaments or something. But that's beneath her, honestly. Not saying that there's anything wrong with chess, but she's just, I like chess. Suck at it, but I like it. She's just great. She's a survivor. She's Catherine Pierce. She's a survivor. She even comes back from the dead. You cannot hold her down. She does not die. She comes back from hell. She gets out. She gets Stefan to come with her. She's like, I know how I can get you to be my forever. She pretends that she's in a tomb for 150 years. She has both Damon, Stefan, Mason. Every man in Mystic Falls is like pretty much wrapped around her finger at some point throughout the decades, throughout the centuries. She is just, she will play anybody, even if you are her friend, even if you trust her. She will use you if it's you or her. She does not care. And that's, she's just great. And number two, I really wanted to put him at number one, but I just could not. Niklaus Mikkelsen. Klaus was treated differently than the rest of his siblings. And, you know, even when he found out that he was, his other siblings loved him anyways. As a child, and even as an adult, even if they hated him after all the things that he's done, they all still loved him on some level. But he was definitely never loved by his parents. And even if he was, they weren't allowed, his real father wasn't allowed to show him love. His fake father hated him because his mother made him weak. And his father valued strength immensely. He was a beast. He was an abomination. He couldn't aim because, or pull back the bow enough, or whatever the case was. He was just weak, and Michael hated weakness. And Esther kept him weak because she didn't want to let him know his secret. And Michael is the reason there was a feud between werewolves and vampires in the first place. Because he killed Klaus's real father the moment he found out that Esther cheated on him. Klaus never really knew who he was. He was a control freak because he never really knew his sense in the world. That's why he liked painting and creativity and all that kind of things. And all those kind of things. Because he was just, he really didn't feel like he belonged with his father in the way that they did things. He felt more drawn to the wolves because he was a wolf. And the wolf side in him actually makes him the strongest original vampire because he's actually an original hybrid. And his siblings have a weakness that he does not have because of his werewolf side. The daggers, the silver, does not affect him because in this lore, werewolves are immune to silver. It doesn't hurt them. It doesn't do anything. But they are completely immune to it. He just never felt like he had a sense in the world. He even says to Haley before they conceive Hope that art has always given him that. He's had control. Every choice was his. The canvas, the color, the everything. But he was always frightened as a child. And I'm sure that's like a lot to live with. And he wants to be strong. He wants to not fear anybody, but he continuously, even as a savage that he is, even knowing who he is, he continuously is afraid of Michael. He literally, Damon name drops Michael and he runs. He drops everything. He drops Damon and runs. Rebecca uses Michael to get rid of Klaus, lures Michael in because at this point, Klaus is more of a savage than Michael because he's so damaged beyond repair, I think. I mean, he's not beyond repair, but kind of. In the books, he's a lot more savage. But in the show, he has emotion. We first see him really care for Caroline. I mean, we do know that he cares about his family and that is his weakness. But it's all about his power and his whatever. And he knows that Elijah isn't going to kill him. He only scares Michael, I mean, scares Elijah with saying that he dropped them in the ocean and they're never going to be found. The sharks probably got him and stuff because he's afraid of Michael. So all of this is led by fear. He is very paranoid. And I think even when he becomes a vampire, he's not sure if he can love himself. Like if he's capable of love. It's not until he meets Aurora that he realizes he can love as an evil thing, as an evil creature. Because he even kills his own mother, and I think he carries around guilt with that at first. I think he gets over it eventually. He kills everybody. He's pretty savage. He doesn't care. He literally daggers his siblings for whatever fucking reason he wants. The one time he staggered, he cries like a baby. But honestly, he was talked up a lot, and his delivery was just great. He's hilarious. He's comical. He is sexy. He does it all. He's great. And he is powerful, and he knows it. He is the immortal. He can't be killed. And he doesn't care. He uses that to his advantage. He does that to Marcel. He does that to his siblings. He will hurt you if he feels like he needs to protect himself, whether he loves you or not. He and his family are some of the most powerful vampires. They are obviously the first vampires, and they created every other vampire. And a lot of other vampires are afraid of them, knowing that Klaus is the most ruthless of them all. Even Rose is like, Elijah is the Easter Bunny compared to Klaus. Although I think that's really in reverse. You just never know what you're going to get with Elijah. But he's not a villain. He doesn't like actively try to seek out harm. He just tries to save his brother. Can't call you a villain. You literally died because you didn't want to be alone. Sorry, my dude. I love you, though. I really do. And in some extent, he was like a villain, but you know, not like Klaus or Catherine or any of the other villains on this list. But I love how cocky and confident that Klaus is. I love that he makes hybrids. I love that he's just like got this cool ability from the beginning, that he's the only vampire to be able to actually procreate. I mean, obviously Caroline does, but I do love that their daughters grew up together as siblings, if they couldn't actually be siblings. In my eyes, Caroline's their mother, Klaus is their father, all three of them, but whatever. Anyways, he's the only vampire that can actually procreate and not just use his body as a holding cell for babies. And his name is known everywhere. He's feared by many. He is cocky enough to know that he is strong, and he uses it to his advantage. And when he is in trouble, he doesn't hide. He disappears. He is just probably one of my favorite characters in the entire series. Number one, Malachi Parker. Who names a kid Malachi? It's like they wanted me to be evil. So Malachi, or Kai Parker, is probably the best villain. And the reason I put him at number one, although his story, he had a childhood where he was treated differently than the rest of his siblings, and he didn't know what he was. He was not really allowed to be who he was. He was similar to Klaus. However, Klaus just daggered his siblings. Kai literally slaughters them. In his family, the coven leader does not treat his family like a family. Coven comes first. His father is the coven leader. His father had to merge with his twin to become the coven leader. And they literally quite literally absorb each other. One of them dies. Kind of like they can do this in utero. This happens with twins. But they quite literally take this to the next level. And as adults at 22, they merge. Kai doesn't feel emotions. He doesn't care. He doesn't even know what crying is. He's like, water fell from my face when he merges with Luke. Because Luke has emotion, and Luke loves Liv more than anybody. And when he's about to kill Liv, he feels tears or something. And he's like, what was that? He's funny. He's reckless. He stabs Bonnie and leaves her. And Bonnie gets him back. But that backfires on Bon Bon because he finds creatures like him that turn him into a vampire. And he's literally able to siphon his own magic. Because he was not born with magic, he felt like an abomination growing up in his coven, or family treated him that way. Or at least it was perceived by him that he was treated differently. He always felt inferior to Josette, his twin, because she was Glenda the Good Witch and had magic, where he did not have his own magic. He had to siphon it from other sources. He was tricked by his twin sister after he went on a killing spree and almost killed his two youngest siblings and killed four of the ones in the middle. And only Joe, Liv, and Luke were left. And obviously Kai. So she pretends to merge with him. But they send him to a prison world where they meet Bonnie and Damon. Sheila Bennett helped with this. And they all know Sheila Bennett. So, you know, he's just, he's also like unkillable. And he also comes back from the dead with Catherine. And I like the fact that he's like the baddest bitch of all. Damon's like, don't say it, don't you dare say it, Catherine Pierce. So he respects Catherine. He, even though I put him higher on this list, he
She at least has feelings. She loves Stefan. She loves herself. Kai's just like, I don't give a fuck. I'll kill babies. I'll kill my family. I'll kill your family. I'll kill you just for fun. This is hilarious. I also just love that every single line, or like a lot of his references at least, are a 90s reference because he was stuck in this prison world for so long. So that's his life. And I genuinely love that because I grew up in the 90s. His sister on her wedding day, right before she says her vows, or as she's saying her vows, right before she says death do us part. He didn't do it at that because he thought it would be too fitting. He kills his entire coven by sacrificing himself, the leader, turning himself into a vampire. He tried to kill his sister's twins, but the coven was one step ahead and put those babies that she was pregnant with on her wedding day into Caroline's indestructible body. And he even comes back and tries to kill them a couple of times in both The Vampire Diaries and in Legacies. Finally, Alaric puts an end to him. He was trapped in another prison world for a bit. So he's just been there. But that is my villain list, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. Let me know what you think. How would you have ranked them? I hope to see you guys soon. I don't know if I'm going to be making an episode next week. I've had a lot going on, but we'll see. Let me know if you guys have any new episode ideas for me. But thanks so much for being here. Bye.